Hold on a sec. Here we go. Just give it a second here. Alrighty, everybody. It is May the 12th, 2021. It's a Wednesday. This is the Fakeologist speaking. I'm calling in from the North Shore of Lake Ontario, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the media capital of Canada. We are the lockdown capital of North America right now. We are in day 400-something of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And this is, I come to you normally Sunday to Thursday at this time, 8:30 p.m. on the Fakeologist Radio Network, mainly on FakeoTube, but I'm also on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. I don't know why I'm on all these platforms, because FakeoTube is my platform, and that's where you should go if you want to come in and chat with everybody and be not interfered with. So please come on to the live stream if you can. Otherwise, we're streaming on my IceCast network at Fakeologist at fake11.com/stream1. And I missed a couple days this week. I got a little busy. So apologies. And we're also, by the way, streaming on the darkmatter.radio network, I believe. And that's the Tim Osman radio network that he's rejuvenated. And I like it because a lot of people that have never heard me before are now finding me, which is great. And one such individual is my guest tonight, and his name is Jake, and his website is gofindtheothers.com. Welcome, Jake.
Hello, and thanks for the invite.
Yeah, Jake came to the, and you never know who comes to the audio chats. That's the other service we have, is an audio chat live stream radio network. So if you come to a Discord server, used to be a TeamSpeak server, but people like the color and glitz of Discord. If you come to fake11.com/Discord, it's free to join. The only barrier is you have to verify with your voice that you are a real person and not a bot, and you're of age, and you are of the right mindset. And Jake did so. He did that. And sometimes it's me that verifies. Other times it's other moderators. We've got Sky Larkin, Richard, Benoit, Original Simulant, Velocet. So if we catch you as soon as you join, make sure you get your mic working and then click on verify, and that'll put you in the voice channel, and then we'll talk to you and say hi. And we'll say hi, and we had Go Find the Others join, and you just don't know who you're going to get. It could be anybody. And it could be somebody who's been into truth for most of his life. And that is the case with Go Find the Others. What a fascinating truther you are. And it's just amazing to find you're a truther old timer. So you are really awake. And obviously you're probably more knowledgeable, more awake than any of us on this server. So I just thought, wow, this is amazing. And I was really happy that you joined.
Well, I appreciate that intro. I may or may not be blushing, but yeah, I have been, you know, and I'm along the way, people, when I'm introduced to them, ask me like, when did you wake up, or what was it that snapped you out of it? And for a while, there was a few answers that seemed like, when I was in church as a young lad, my parents were Baptists, and so I went to a Baptist church. I could tell the preacher was full of shit, 100%. And I would look around at all the people Holy Ghosting, and sometimes tears and amens, and I'm like, wow, this guy. I mean, he. I don't know. I could tell from a young age that church was the first one. I got into all of that and, discovered the layers of fuckery involved with Christianity specifically. But looking back, I think I kind of always knew Santa wasn't real. And some of the best people in the world were not your family.
Right.
And sometimes your family were some monsters. And, the cookie cutter TV shit, I didn't see that anywhere, but Yeah, so, you know, I got into a lot of weird stuff at a very young age. Art Bell might have done it to me. I drove my grandmother across country one time, and she would not all the people Holy Ghosting and, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes tears and amens. And I'm like, wow, this guy, I mean, he, I don't know. I could tell from a young age that church was the first one. I got into all of that.
I get a bunch of feedback. Sorry.
Discovered the layers of fuckery. And
sorry, that's my fault. I was just trying to get my chat going, and it started my video stream. I'm sorry about that.
No, not a problem. That's disorienting when you hear what you just said.
No, I know. I tried to turn it off, so sorry about that. I'm trying to get – I didn't set up my chat on FakoTube because I wanted to watch the chat, so – apologies.
Oh, not a problem. I think I've always known things were askew, so I got into all of this at a real young age. My grandmother, I drove her across country. I was 15. I didn't even really have a license yet, but on a long road trip, she would not have the radio on. She could not stand the radio in the car. So it was a lot of talking and, you know, whatever. But when she finally fell asleep, I turned the speakers up to the one that was just by me and turned the other three off. It just started scanning through the dial because I was in a strange place and a young kid. And I landed on an Art Bell show. And I think that was like the tipping point of like, oh, there's a whole other world of stuff out there besides ABC, NBC, CBS, public school, and, you know, your Christian Bible. And, yeah, I just went haywire after that. You know, the David Icke's and the Terrence McKenna's and the Alex Joneses and the Jordan Maxwell's, you know, their VHS's were aplenty. And,
what year was that? What year was that, you figure?
Oh, wow. I was born in 77. Mm-hmm. So the summer I was 15.
92?
Yep, there you go.
Okay. Well.
And yeah, because I was my birthday's in the summer, so I was about to turn 16 is why they let me drive. I did have a permit, but not a full license.
Sure.
So it was the summer of 92.
And where was that? What state was that?
We were going from Missouri to South Carolina, so I'll guess Tennessee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're from Kansas, I think we talked earlier.
Correct. My family is from Missouri, both of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
They actually moved to Casper, Wyoming in the 70s to be hippies. My brother and I were born in Casper, Wyoming. I've lived in Montana, Colorado, Kansas, and Missouri.
Mm.
But most, yeah, from high school on, mid-Missouri, Kansas side.
So there, you're a Midwesterner for sure then. True and true. Maybe even slightly. Yeah. Is Wyoming considered Midwest, or is that...
That's a mountain state.
Mountain state, okay.
I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. The eastern half of Wyoming is no different than the Dakotas, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, once you hit the Rockies, it's definitely a whole other world. And incidentally, the Rockies generally run north and south.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I didn't know they split the state of Wyoming. I hadn't looked. Okay, so they run.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
North and south, but in Casper, there's a little range that runs east to west.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
runs off the Rockies. Live,
yeah, so it's a different orientation. Most of like I lived in Denver for a long time, mm-hmm. and you could close your eyes and feel where the mountains were, and that was west. Like getting lost is impossible in Denver.
All right.
And but Casper is the opposite because
you got mountains on both sides.
Yeah, and the north of you. So
right.
It's a different orientation, but yeah, I'm a mountain, born in the mountains, live in the valley.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could probably talk for hours. We did talk on the Fakeologist audio chat, and if anyone wants to find those audios, go to fakeologist.com/audio, and I've got two separate feeds. I've got the Fakeologist show, which is what you're listening to now, and the audio chat, which is what goes on for hours and hours and hours and hours on with different voices. And actually, sorry, I got to turn off my bloody noise effects on this Telegram group. I got so many things going on right now on the computer. We got Telegram with all its noises. And let me just turn off the play sound. Okay, there we go. We've got a million things open, as you can imagine, being the producer of the show, as well as the host, as well as everything else, and the caller-inner and the tech guy. And you're an amazing guy because you've done all of this. You ran a radio show. You're a talk show host, which is why you got that talk show voice. You know about audio. You're hip to psyops. You're hip to media fakery. You've got history. I mean, you are like the complete truther.
Yeah, with the action, that's where like a lot of my message is, because you know, we all got to this point, you know, through different channels and various routes. Some of us, you know, have different intentions, et cetera, but, actions are what's going to get us out of this. Like I got a saying, like I've been to the bottom of most all of the rabbit holes, and once you get all the way to the bottom, it's a mirror. Like the answer to Monsanto is growing and catching your own food. The answer to the banking cartel is to never take out another loan. The way you defeat the school board is by teaching your own children. It's not rocket science, but a lot of people get to where they know the innate and insane corruptness of all these institutions we thought were like God in our formal indoctrinations. And when it turns out they're not, there's a whole lot of people screaming and yelling and making videos and bumper stickers and t-shirts and coffee mugs, but ain't doing shit about it. And that's not, you know, we all learn at a different pace, and we're not, you know, you can't, it does seem overwhelming when you realize the scope of the deception, but
it does.
You gotta make, you gotta pick one thing and do that. You know, you know, like the system is designed for you to join it or fight it. Either way, it has your full attention. And the way we defeat this multi-headed hydra is by starvation. We'll never take them out. We'll make them irrelevant because we're doing other stuff.
No, you're right. You're right. And we feed it. We take loans. And I don't know if it was you that was saying it on one of your old shows. I've listened to a couple of your old shows, and I get really mixed up because I listen to so much stuff. And maybe it was you that said, yeah, we have to get out of their system because we're complying and giving into their system and keeping it going by just participating. It's their money. But how far can we withdraw? And you know, can we stop driving on their roads? Because we need their license to drive on their roads.
That's, I agree. And that's when you get into the finer points of it. There are battles that our children are going to have to take on and our grandchildren. But yeah, I mean, and that's what I tell people, pick something. Like I haven't paid a penny in federal income tax in over 14 years and I'm fully employed and paid above the table. It's not rocket science.
That's amazing.
To figure out how salary is not income. And so with like the whole sovereign citizen thing, sovereignty is the way you conduct yourself. Not a piece of paper you fill out correctly. Mm-hmm. Like if you conduct yourself sovereignly, the cops don't ever mess with you, ever.
Yeah, I never understood that.
So many of the sovereign movements like to poke the bear and like have a battle of wits with the bear. When the bear's got these claws, he's just going to rip your guts out with. Like, you know,
I know.
You're smarter than the bear. You've got the Constitution on your side. Hallelujah. But we can starve the beast. I mean, some of these things are pretty simple. Like not everybody can homeschool tomorrow. Understandable. The school board, and I'm not anti-public school. I think that can be done in a far superior way, because parents do have to work, unfortunately. And we're not going to like, you know, shake this whole thing at once, but we've got to start somewhere, man. And, you know, so I don't pay federal income tax. I don't go seek Western medicine. Like, I don't know how many quote unquote truthers talk about big pharma and vaccines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, that take Prozac. You know, mm-hmm. it's like at some point you've got to cut them off completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George Bush didn't kill one Iraqi. Not one. George Bush did not kill one Iraqi or Afghani or Sunni or Shia. All a bunch of me and you did. Mm-hmm. The war crimes were committed by us.
Mm-hmm.
The pedophilia is committed by everyday people.
Mm-hmm.
The usury is, you know, the fucking federal deficit. The bankers are whack. Fractional reserve banking is insane. Stop taking out fucking loans. And what do they have? Like, Bill Gates isn't worth yeah. $6 billion. Somebody owes him like $5.7 billion. You know what I mean? It's
mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Stop paying him. Don't take a credit card out. Don't
pay for Windows.
Don't pay for Windows. You know, and so, yeah, you can't defeat the whole thing at once, but you could plant a garden this year. Grow one tomato. And that's one less tomato Hines has to modify.
As the pastor would say, it's like standing in front of a mountain of shit with a spoon and you're told to remove it. That's how you feel. That's how I feel. It's crazy. Yeah. Well, I was thinking of planting or making a garden, but I don't know if I want to stay here. So I don't even know if I want to turn the sod and build a greenhouse right here because I'm not for certain that I'm in the right place right now. Honestly, we're in the eye of the hurricane right here where we are.
And that's another fantastic point. The things you can't do, you can support. So you don't have time for a garden. One of your neighbors that's just as close to you as Walmart has tomatoes for sale.
Yeah, that's true. I was just thinking, I don't know if I want to stay in Ontario. That's a real concern for me.
I've got a friend in Portland, and they just voted to make the masks forever. And yeah, that was like, he's like, I've got to move now. Like, I can't defeat this.
Right.
But, you know, and that kind of what we're talking about is where, you know, my screen name comes into. You got to go find the others. Like, once you get to a certain point.
No, that's a great name. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, that is a great name that you had there, and I had to get you to explain it. It's so smart, and it's your website, gofindtheothers.com. Yeah, explain it.
Once upon a time, Timothy Leary was asked, what do you do when you turn on TuneIn Dropout? And he said, find the others. And I've always – that's resonated with me because you can't convert the unconvertible. And so – you know, that was a big part of the Alex Jones psyop. Get a bullhorn and go wake up your neighbor. Well, like, if your neighbor needs some sleep, man, you're making the situation worse. So I always like that telos of finding the others, but with my emphasis on action, I did put the go in front of it. So I stole most of that from Timothy Leary because it's a good idea, whether he was CIA or not. And I put the go in front of it because when you do go find the others, it's the camaraderie and the synchronicities will overwhelm you, and you can network. And, it's to be how we're going to defeat this thing.
No, it's powerful. And I get really depressed because I'm with the zombies all day and I don't see any hope. And that's why I have this website, this audio chat, and now I do this, try and do this broadcast when I can, because I meet people like you that you regenerate and recharge, because as humans, we just feed off each other. And if we just suck in the negative energy all day, it really can bring us to low places. And, it's really important to network and just, at least if we're talking about it, and I know that you're sane and you make sense, then it will empower me, I think, which is why I do this.
We got to take inspiration from a lot of places. Mm-hmm. I also find, like, with all the nuttiness that's been increased since 2020, I take inspiration from the insanity. Like, this all is an intelligence test, and we passed. Like, and I don't want to get too meta too quick, but if the creator of all created everything. Uh-huh. Then lies, evil, and deception, the devil, Satan, pick your prince of the air. You know, pick your favorite adversary. The Most High made that too. And so, like, in some bizarre sense, there's a divine essence to the madness that's going on because, you know, the creator didn't go through all the trouble for this to end in a coughing, bloody fireball. So what are we supposed to be learning from this? Why would the creator of, you know, beautiful sex and children and flowers and a fine cognac, why would they also make, you know, like Bill Gates and COVID-19 and, you know, the Iraq war? Like, what's, how does this come from the same place? And kind of like I said, with the bottom of every rabbit hole is a mirror, and like, it's up to you to fix this now.
No, yeah, you did say that, excuse me, before on the audio chat. On the bottom of every rabbit hole is a mirror, as yes. In reflection. So you're looking, you get to the end and you're looking at yourself. That's what that means.
I sent my children to public school. I took out loans and made the bankers wealthy. I eat fucking McDonald's and genetically modified foods. Mm-hmm. I go to my doctor twice a year, and sometimes when I sneeze in the middle of the night, like, yeah, all of this madness is our fault. You know, we were tricked into it. You know, that's give the devil his credit. It was a fucking brilliant scam they pulled, but we did it. You know, George Bush didn't bomb one Iraqi. You know, me's and you's are killing the people in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we don't have to get into what war actually is. And mm-hmm. I agree. There's not two armies fighting, but bombs do explode.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the politicians don't lob any of them. And so it's like up to us to stop it.
Mm-hmm. We just follow the lead.
Yeah, at any point we want. So that's kind of like the bottom of the rabbit hole is every mirror. The end result of all of this madness is kind of the same thing. So, you know, if gardening, intentional communities, teaching your own children, being creative versus just a consumer, like all of these things are trying to teach us that in some sense, like you need to take care of your own health. How you defeat a cold or a flu will never come from big pharma. We all know the vaccines are shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so is the medicine. Like, we're going to keep getting more and more ridiculous diseases until people figure out how to be healthy anyway. You know, this is getting absurd to where either you're going to die from the poison or go look up if a virus is even real or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, wow, okay. So here we are. Viruses aren't real. So what do we do now? Like, it's not even about the vaccine anymore. It's about, then why do people throw up? Mm-hmm. Why do people get fevers? Mm-hmm. What have I put into my body that it's trying to expel violently?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the end of the COVID-19 scam is you eating better and drinking water and loving people and being happy.
And getting enough sleep and not being stressed out and not injuring yourself. And eating enough nutrition so your body can keep this chemical equilibrium going, because once you disturb the equilibrium, your body is just off balance and trying to recover in any way it can. And especially when you're intentionally poisoning yourself, many people poison themselves 3 times a day. It's called food. And then their body is just off balance all day long. It can barely recover. And then you throw in a little stress and you don't get enough sleep. And next thing you know, you've got pneumonia because your body is just doing its best to recover itself. And it's...
Yep.
Yeah, and if anyone wanted to learn about health but didn't have the time, well, now that's all we do, because all we talk about is being sick and dying. That's our daily conversation. And instead of trying to figure out maybe the origin story about health, we're too busy being off balance or about what poisons we're going to try and avoid to get our lives back, basically, because they took them to get our attention. Now they got everyone's attention. But everyone is paying attention to the wrong thing, which, of course, is what you just said. And that's why I kind of promote a couple links on my site, fake11.com/ill, fake11.com/sick, fake11.com/CM as in Charlie Mother, The Contagious Myth. I try and promote those few books that I've discovered that are probably the key to this undoing this whole COVID's cult of COVID sickness, cult of death cult, and also Amanda Vollmer, who's completely on board for the most part, my message. And I promote that on FakoTube. And I just try and promote it over and over again because there really isn't anything else to understand. And if you understand all that, then everything, at least in your mind, will go away. And I think those are the central truths to try and counter the lie, which is COVID's. And the reason I just talk about this all day long is because it's the only thing happening, at least where I live. I know you're in the States, so you're not getting, your economy is not being collapsed at the same rate at this moment, but there are other things going on in the U.S. as well, as we know, to disrupt and destroy, because the end game is the same for all of North America. We're just on different schedules.
Yes.
I think.
First, I was going to say stress is one of the ingredients to every illness.
Mm-hmm.
That's rarely talked about, even in the alternative health crowd. My phone just went to sleep. Didn't cut me off, did it?
No, you're good. Oh, you're on your phone right now? Okay.
Yeah, the computer's a beast, and it would probably make a background noise.
No, that's good. That's good. Your phone is good. It's allowed to go to sleep. It still works when it turns the screen off. I think it just turns your screen off mainly. But Discord's pretty pervasive.
Discord will not let you let go of its audio settings you got to intentionally kill everything. But I was just making sure it didn't cut me off. Stress is what makes most people sick, combined with other things. And parts of the economy here are not doing so well. But there was no total lockdown or anything. I didn't miss a day of work all of 2020. And one store got really super low on toilet paper, but I was never without toilet paper. I could never not go anywhere. So I went to a few concerts, a bunch of comedy clubs. It was definitely...
That's in Missouri or Kansas?
The Missouri side is where all the fun happens, yes.
Oh, okay.
Kansas City's a fun city where you're half in Kansas and half in Missouri. Missouri never went full retard, so you could still do things, although mask mandates varied depending on corporate status and ruralism, because there were plenty of small-town gas stations that not only did you not have to have a mask because the clerks weren't wearing masks, there weren't even any signs in the window. So super exciting. Okay. But it was hard. That was also, believe it or not, pretty difficult to deal with, hearing the stories of places like Canada and California and New York that I guess you really got locked down. I don't know. We didn't. So
no, we're still being smashed. They're really going to kill our economy. This is for real. This is not a game. And we don't even, school is already canceled for you don't have to go to school or in class school next year. So they've already projected right into the next school year, as in September 21 to June 2022. So they are encouraging people to stay home. I'm going to say that even if they relax things a bit in June, we know the plan. The plan is for maybe a couple months off, and then September, give it another whack. And then I'm kind of concerned that perhaps by September, you're going to have, if you have a large number of people that are taking the vaccination, they might actually really need to be admitted into a hospital and really be sick, and then they'll just blame that on the fourth wave for letting the summer relax a little bit. So I've talked to enough people, not that many people, that have been vaccinated and then really got sick, as in all the things that it's supposed to prevent, like fever, sore arm, sore muscles. I haven't known anyone to die on a first-hand basis, but it's bad. And the uptake on the vaccination, I think, is pretty high where I am, which is another reason perhaps why they're focusing on doing the easy prey first, which is where I live. 14 million people live in Ontario, and there's a high compliance and belief in the government that they wouldn't hurt them or do anything wrong. So there's almost no doubt in the population that they're doing the right thing because they're doing what they're told. So maybe that's why it's happening here and not, say, in Missouri or Kansas for that matter. But
yeah, it did seem to be a pretty good red and blue divide. Mm-hmm.
So we would be solidly blue here, dark blue, if we had to pick a color.
Because I've been across most of the eastern half of the U.S. since mm-hmm. the initial COVID thing. Guns are everywhere. I also wonder if the most heavily armed places, they didn't go ham immediately just to see. Like, I'm 100% non-aggression principle, self-defense only. But there's not a lot of people that don't feel that way. And I think if you told everybody in the Ozarks they couldn't go anywhere, you might see a few pitchforks and torches, etc. But
yeah, I personally think that's overstated. I don't think Americans are a threat at all, even though they have guns. I just don't think, unless they knew that the people that are in the butcher coats are intentionally trying to hurt them, I don't think they see it as a threat. They might see it as an overstep or a mistake, but I don't think they see it as a direct threat. I think that's what the PSYOP is all about, that these people that are wearing the butcher coats, the white coats, are just trying to help, and they might be making mistakes. I think that's how the majority might see it. Nobody sees this as an intentional takeover and destruction, I don't think, at this point. I don't think there's enough destruction yet for people to start saying this is an intentional controlled demolition of the American Empire, which is the name of Dollar Vigilante's book. I think it's a great title because 9/11, for all intents and purposes, was a controlled demolition of the Twin Towers and a little bit of the Pentagon and not much to do in Shanksville. But
organized. It never escaped me. The complex is the World Trade Center.
Like, sure.
The World Trade was directly attacked.
Yeah. It's the world. Yeah, I agree. Look, all these guys that run the world, whoever they are, the Sabbatean Franks, the Jesuits, the crypto Jews, they're some of the smartest people in the world. And you need to be when you're running maybe 6 billion people around in circles. So you really need to have the best and brightest and the best script writers and the book writers and the narrative writers. They know, they're plugged into the psychology of the human mind. They know all its weaknesses, all its cracks, all its exploits, because that's all they've studied their whole lives. And it's a craft. It's a science, a real science, the humanities. And humans' basic biology doesn't change. Their basic psychology doesn't change. So you can really get really super good at it if the world civilization, it really is a couple thousand years old. Maybe it isn't, maybe it is, but you know they have tons of practice and they've been just doing it full time, full tilt, and they pass it on to their ears, or they keep it in their institutions, whatever they are, their think tanks. So this is a science, and we know it's a science because they call it science. And this PSYOP is being run by technocratic behavioral scientists more than anything. I don't think epidemiology is any more than a behavioral science. It's not about contagious viruses. It's about behavior, human behavior, public health. So that's what's running us right now, right into the ground and right into the new technocratic revolution.
Oh, just as a side note,
mm-hmm.
and I've heard several of your shows and been around a little bit, but what's your take on the top of the Illuminati dung heap?
Well, I've heard many names. I think it's, I heard Sabatier and Franks. I kind of like that idea because it's not really. So we've got Sabatier and Franks, maybe S-MOM, Sovereign Military Order of Malta. I've heard, I just don't know. It could be all kinds of different loosely knit Venetian black nobility type families, but I don't think that the people that are presented to us and made obvious and scream when they're pointed out are the real power behind it. I like
to say if you've heard their name, they're at least three steps away.
Yeah, for sure. They put all the easy targets out. I mean, I think the lowest rung of the target is the Jews. And
I don't know if you that, really that think it's boring,
it is boring. And if the Jews were really so safe and so holy, I don't think they'd roll out the COVID's lockdown, technological vaccine passport, prison planet in Israel first. If they are the ones that are supposedly running everything, I don't think that's something you would do to your own population. You might want to leave them last, maybe. So.
Right. Right.
The idea that they're first is a clue that it's probably not those people that identify as Jews.
I like to call them the Junior Varsity. With the JEW Junior Varsity.
Oh, right. So
yeah.
Who do you think could be on the top? Since I don't think we get to know for sure.
Oh, that's my answer. I don't know, but. The city-state triumvirate used to be up there, the Vatican, City of London, and Washington, D.C.
Right,
but
okay.
Who guards the Vatican and has managed to dodge every global
conflict? Swiss guards? Yeah.
Yeah.
Switzerland, Swiss guards. Yeah, that's where a good chunk of the leaders of the world hang out, Geneva, Klaus Schwab, for sure. For sure.
All of them. Like, there's the UN building in New York as a head fan. Go look up UNESCO, UNICEF. Where are the rest of them located?
Right.
Geneva. They have one building in New York.
Right.
The rest of all of that is in Switzerland.
Geneva,
but
yeah.
I think that's as close to the top as we're allowed to know. My personal guess is they're on an island or continent we're not told about. Who's really running the show.
Right.
But, the city-state triumvirate is there for us to rail against Washington, the money, the military, and the religion. The Swiss run those three. Who's above them? I don't know.
Right, yeah. Yeah, we get to see the front office, the retail part of the operation. That's the front door where you can sort of take a look at, walk around, look in through the window, for sure. Or upper management, maybe. They're upper management of the but they're not the owners, I don't think, or the presidents of the whole show. So you do think that the world is one big corporation and a few people or families probably run it.
Correct. And this, I mean, we're going to just dip into woo-woo for a second, but I like to balance, like I have a saying that experience is the ultimate truth. Mm-hmm. If you've experienced it, then it's true.
Yeah.
Kind of like the talk Robin Williams gave Matt Damon in
Goodwill Hunting.
I like them apples. Goodwill Hunting. There you go.
Okay.
He's like, you know,
that's a long time ago I watched that. Yeah.
He's giving a speech on that park bench about, like, you know every single detail of this. Michelangelo, he's like, but have you ever smelled the air in the Sistine Chapel? He's like, you've read War and Peace and you've got to memorize. He's like, but what do you think it's like to hold your, you know, dying comrade's guts in your hands on the battlefield? Like, you know, he gives him this whole knowledge is shit if you haven't experienced anything kind of speech. And to a large degree, I like to measure stuff with reality. Like, you know, I've seen no pandemic, you know, I've experienced no pandemic, so I know it's not true. Like, you can debate the minutia and get as scholarly as you'd like, but I've experienced no pandemic, so there isn't one.
Is that the speech on the bench?
Yes. The Goodwill Hunting.
Let me just see if this is it. I can play, got 6.6 million views. There you go.
So what's this? Taste's choice moment between guys. This is really nice. You got a thing for swans? Is this like a fetish? It's something like maybe we need to devote some time.
Is that coming through?
Yes.
Thought about what you said to me the other day about my painting. Stayed up half the night thinking about it. Something occurred to me. I fell into a deep, peaceful sleep and haven't thought about you since. You know what occurred to me?
No.
You're just a kid. You don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Why, thank you.
It's all right. You've never been out of Boston.
Nope.
If I asked you about art, you'd probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo. I know a lot about him. Life's work, political aspirations, him and the Pope, sexual orientation, the whole works, right? I bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You've never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. Seen that. If I ask you about women, you'd probably give me a syllabus of your personal favorites. You may have even been laid a few times. But you can't tell me what it feels like to wake up next to a woman and feel truly happy. You're a tough kid. When I ask you about war, you'd probably throw Shakespeare at me, right? Once more into the breach, dear friends. But you've never been near one. You've never held your best friend's head in your lap and watch him gasp his last breath looking to you for help.
All right, I got the quotes I wanted out of that. That's good. I don't remember that movie at all, so I might have to...
I butchered it, but I think I got the...
Yeah, you got the essence for sure. Yeah, that was very good. Very well done.
I hadn't seen it in a long time, but I remember that part, and I was like, yeah, you know, experience is what's, this is the ultimate truth. And that, you know, gets back into the action, et cetera. But what was the question right before? The prelude? Oh,
are you talking about what we were talking about?
Correct.
All
of that was to answer a question.
Well, just who's at the top, and that maybe that we started with that, but maybe we moved on. But it's okay. There's other stuff to talk about. Your website. I like to do about an hour. I know you and I talk for at least an hour on the audio chat, and we can certainly talk again, but I usually talk for about an hour, so we got about 20, 25 minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about your website and your past, because you got a lot of great stuff on your website. You got a lot of old, what you call suicide podcrafts, and I listened to a couple of the old things, and I thought they were really, really good. Really good, and I'm a huge fan of audio, so they're also standing the test of time.
Well, I appreciate it. I got lots of practice. I would apologize first. My website hasn't been updated in a while. Life got busy, and I basically, when I was on, it started with the radio show in 2005, and we would talk about, you know, it was an overnight show. You know, it would be in the genre of Art Bell or Coast to Coast or any of that stuff. Any topic was fair game, and we would take calls. And when I first started doing the show, I would discuss different, you know, topics and would get a lot of pushback, you know, especially in 2005.
Now, you did a radio show on an FM radio station, 100,000 watt. Radio station out of Kansas City. That's correct. Amazing.
No, it was divine providence. You know, it seemed like how it even happened is a whole story also. But long story short, the first show, I actually came as a guest because I had this library of bizarre Codex Magica and, you know, all the Terrence McKenna works and, you know, David Icke videos. I just had this really weird collection of esoteric and quote unquote forbidden knowledge. My cousin had a job. Anyway, a coworker brought up David Icke, and my cousin's like, the only thing I know about David Icke, and this is 2003, 2004. He's like, the only thing I know about David Icke is my cousin's got some videos of his. Mm-hmm. And so that person knew a guy with a radio show, and all of us being the same age, you know, and two of them were employees. I was related to the guy. So we just all hung out, and he wanted to see this collection of weird shit because he had a radio show. I came in as a guest for one show and then, like, you know, blew the thing up and stayed for 12 years is how that happened. Like, I wasn't even trying, you know, I had in the back of my head at some point I could not just keep taking in information. I would have to, you know, exude some information. And especially back then, man, like, you know, the internet was a baby. You know, it existed, but there was dial-up was still a thing. Like, but I'd worked for Gateway Computers, so I had like a Ferrari for a computer and one of the first cable modems in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So being one of the first subscribers with it, I had like bandwidth for days. You know, hard drives were becoming big and inexpensive, and so I just started collecting all kinds of crazy stuff. Anyway, as more and more shows went by, and I would get more and more pushback, you can't make somebody sit down and watch a documentary that doesn't want to. But for example, the term New World Order, when I would say that in reference to whatever, and you know, a caller would mention that's just a conspiracy theory. I was like, you should watch this documentary. And they're like, I'm not going to watch that crap. But the thing about a lot of these old school documentaries was they were mashups and they were compilations of George Bush and Henry Kissinger and all these people saying New World Order glowingly, like, you know, it was their plan. And so I had the computer and the technical skills to chop just George Bush in his New World Order speech out of a documentary nobody was going to watch. So the next time somebody called, I could just say, okay, well, if New World Order is a conspiracy theory, then George Bush, the president, well, former head of the CIA, oil tycoon, you know, here's him saying it. I would just play it so they would hear it. And you don't have to sit through 3 hours of Alex Jones screaming. You could just hear George Bush say that. So you could stop calling me a conspiracy theory. I was trying to plant seeds one audio clip at a time. In 2005, the radio station was still analog. They hadn't done the massive digital switch over everywhere yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd have to burn this stuff on CDs. And back in the day, burning CDs didn't always work. So I would listen to all the tracks all the way through to make sure I wouldn't, you know, have dead air, be made fun of. And a lot of, I could see a theme in the clips I was pulling out, and that would remind me of something else, or a song lyric, or this old news clip, or from this fireside chat. So I started not... They weren't really produced. I kind of shuffled them like a deck of cards. Like, I would take all these audio clips and just shuffle them like a deck of cards, and they would kind of be cogent and coherent. And I would definitely fine tune it after that. Sometimes your shuffle is shit and you miss a bunch of cards, but that's how the suicides were born. In the Midwest, we had a saying, like, if you mix a bunch of flavors together, you get a suicide fountain drink or a suicide snow cone or a suicide Mr. Misty. It just meant mixing all the flavors together.
Mm-hmm.
So the radio show was 5 hours. We would talk for two. Instead of just busting these clips up into one at a time, we would play an hour of an audio mashup of current events and esoteric knowledge and comedy and poetry and you name it.
Yeah, I really like that. And, you know, there was another guy who did something similar to that. His name was Max Ratt. He would play a clip and talk about it. I don't know if you ever heard his podcast.
It doesn't sound familiar. Clyde Lewis stole it out of it. I stole all my work. Like, I was just trying to consolidate in an entertaining fashion, you know, some of the stuff I'd come across for people that might find it interesting late at night on the radio. So, like, you know, there's plenty of original work, but the suicides themselves, I'm in very few of them, you know, myself talking or giving my thoughts. But there have been people with nationally syndicated shows that I know for a fact were listening because, you know, they would, you know, play my stuff for their audience. So that's how the suicides were born. Paragon Radio was the radio show I did for 12 years. Radio Redux was we got actually a drive time slot, which quickly the station, that didn't last but like a year, I think. And the station was like, yeah, back to overnights for you guys.
All right.
And then I've done a bunch of podcasts and been on a bunch of other people's shows. And so Go Find the Others, in its heyday, I was just trying to compile everything we did on the radio because the station didn't have a website where you could go to this time block and, you know, download. They eventually did at the digital switch, but my first website was about just trying to compile all the radio stuff into one spot because everybody would call like, oh, that hour last week was killer, man. Where do I get a copy? You know, and after 500 requests, I was just like, shit, I've got to make a website. And that's how that was born. And ever since then, I just collect cool links. And my favorite part of my website actually is my original photography. I'm outside from can't see to can't see most days. I travel a lot and I tend to look up. And so I catch some interesting, I call it realmtography because I think of Earth as a realm versus like a soggy space pear or a galactic pancake. But yeah, there's the realmtography is my favorite stuff on there, which that also I've got a couple hundred more to add to it, but life gets busy. And in my Go Find the Others telos, I generally just share a lot of stuff with people in person versus trying to constantly maintain it. And I'll just think of something and I'll go look on my website. The link will be broken. I think shadow banning was invented for me because I was doing this a long time ago. Like my first website was Infowarts.com.
Infowarts.
The tagline was.
Yeah, Infowarts yeah, plus like, a T. Yeah.
Yeah. And the tagline said it was the mental condition you receive from getting mind fucked your whole life, which was hilarious. And it, you know, was kind of a comedic version of Alex Jones, Infowars.com. But I knew enough about analytics and set up a bunch of widgets way back in the early days of your own website. And yeah, shadow banning is a real thing. I could watch my hits go backwards in real time. They put like, you know, this is an infected site. The New York Post jacked Infowarts.com from me the second the renewal was up. I don't know how they did that because I eventually Infowarts and Go Find the Others, they both pointed you to the same place. But the day the domain name renewal was due on Infowarts.com, the New York Post bought it at midnight and 1 second before I even had a chance to renew it. So.
Right.
Now it's just gofindtheothers.com.
Right now it's not, it's just a Google redirect. So someone's grabbed it and just has parked it. There's nothing there at Infowarts.
Oh, nice. Well,
yeah.
Oh, I'm glad the New York Post has finally lost its credibility. But yeah, they stole it from me because you used to type it in and it would take you to newyorkpost.com, which was kind of hilarious, but yeah, it's a fun website. Pictures, audio. Paragon Radio was the radio show. The Suicides are my podcraft. The Next Step radio show was like just me and a guest yapping. And yeah, that's, like you said, I've been at this for a while. So it's a couple decades worth of archives in there.
Yeah, I'm looking at archive.org and it's nothing is popping up. Did you start it in 2008? Is that what you said?
2008 is when I started GoFindTheOthers.com. So Infowarts was 2006, 2007.
Right. I'm just trying to see if anything pops up, but when I go to the Wayback Machine, it's not bringing anything up except blank pages. So maybe it got scrubbed somehow, some way. Thanks to...
Nice.
Yeah, I'm just trying to see what comes up. Yeah, I'm looking...
Well, it's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
And I even host all my own data. So, like, I don't even trust a server farm anywhere. It's an undisclosed location, but... Yeah, I host all my own data, and I still get just bizarre stuff. Links broken. Like, it's definitely more than I can handle sometimes. And the heyday of the radio show, plus Facebook, plus Instagram, plus my own website, it was daunting, to say the least. I don't know how some of these bigger... You just have to ignore it, I guess, at some point.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of your Realm sighted photography. It's not bad. I'm a bit of a photographer myself, so it's interesting, different colors, and it's all around, as you say, can't see. Is that what you call short form for Kansas City?
No, sorry. Our hours at work, we work from can't see to can't see.
Oh, okay. Dusted on. Okay, I got it. That's interesting. So you like to take pictures just as the sun's coming up or going down? Is that your angle there?
Or sky phenomena, crazy rainbows, moon and sun halos, lots of reflections, the sunsets and sunrises. Generally, I'm at an altitude, whether it's a skyscraper or a boom lift or something elevated. Yeah, just a high vantage point on chemtrails. There's sky ice.
Yeah, I like your photography. Sunlight and daylight are two different lights. Yeah, when you look at it that way, with just this red pin, and then the sky is completely still illuminated, they don't seem like they're the same source, do they? Is that what you're getting at with that comment?
Yeah, correct. Aside from being a Realm Earther, I'm more interested in the electromagnetic nature of this place.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to how fluorescent neon lights work, you excite different noble gases with electricity and you get those colors.
Yeah, so that's a good point.
Yeah, so the electric nature of the sun is exciting the xenon and neon and freon. It's naturally occurring in the atmosphere.
Interesting.
And then the clouds filter it out. So it's a secondary light itself because you're exciting the gas particles, whatever they may be.
Well, I like that. And you got some atmospheric electricity mass. So you think that the atmosphere is charged. I guess the ether is charged. And do you think they're pulling electricity into the grid through these masts?
I have worked on a project that I can definitively say yes to that.
So do you think some major office towers in major cities like Toronto that have some radio communications tower on it are actually grabbing the power out of the air and at least powering the building?
Though the individual skyscraper, the Sears Tower, those kind of things, I think they're selfish. They are, that's somebody's personal thing, whatever their power. Have you seen the antenna, I'll put in air quotes, at the top of the new World Trade Center?
Maybe.
Yeah, let me know what radio station that's picking up. Atmospheric electricity is real. I think the grid itself now is what's powering, their supplemental... electricity ebbs and flows. It's a huge topic.
I'm very interested in it because I don't think we brought this up on our last chat, but I think nuclear power is a giant fraud.
Yes.
And I live near a nuclear power plant now that was my second biggest fear. First was nuclear bombs and then was nuclear power plants blowing up. Or leaking or killing us or contaminating us. And just in our neighborhood, we had our annual drill where they run the air raid sirens and then tell us to go jam our throats full of KI, potassium iodide, to save us from the radiation fallout. But I'm convinced that nuclear science is a giant fraud, so therefore nuclear bombs are a fraud, therefore nuclear power is a fraud. So the question is, what is it? What are they doing? And I think it's just all psychological for the most part with the bombs and with the power plants. I think they are giant electric dumps where, because the electricity and the grid has always got to be overcharged, and if it doesn't get spent, it needs to be dumped. Otherwise, it'll fry all the grid.
And if you discharge it incorrectly, you can screw a bunch of shit up. So they build these super lead line deep underground pools and dump it straight into some water.
Right. Or boil it, or just have it, just have it boil the water in the plant and blow it off.
Yep. The original skyscrapers in the teens, 20s, and 30s were the power plants. Once they got the grid up, the dam process supplemented the rest of the industrial boom. Mm-hmm. The Hoover Dam, that's, you want to talk about like hilarious in the world of scams. Mm-hmm. They got the Americans to pay for the Hoover Dam.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sell them back the electricity they're getting out of it for free. Mm-hmm. Now, free energy devices is a bit of a misnomer because you got to put some energy in to make the damn thing. So it's never truly free.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hoover Dam is an over unity device. And they've raked in, because that goes to, the Southwest and Las Vegas. And
mm-hmm.
man, imagine the electric bill for Las Vegas for the past 75 years. And
right.
they got that straight off the top. No investment. The taxpayers built it. The taxpayers maintain it. And they've been collecting that electric money that whole time. So it's the Tennessee River Valley. It's the Bagnell Dam in Missouri. It's the Hoover Dam. They did it in a whole lot of places. But the skyscrapers and the dam systems essentially gave them the over-unity devices.
I don't quite understand that term over unity because I know that's some kind of electrical term.
Yeah, they eventually get more energy out of it than they put into it. So the Hoover Dam was the energy to make the thing cost a lot of money, time, effort, electricity, gasoline. Mm-hmm. So it's not a free energy device.
So you're saying to make all the concrete and that structure, the structure of the dam costs money to make.
It costs money, time,
right.
electricity,
right.
people's own personal power,
okay,
time, effort, labor. But they've definitely gotten free electricity out of it since then. So it wasn't free to start with, but they paid it off manyfold for sure.
So you're saying that hydroelectric is real. I believe that to be true because it does.
Oh, yeah.
So water does turn turbines that do generate electricity through magnetic, magnetic dissonance. When two poles are brought together, they do create a magnetic field, which creates a electric wavelength.
If you do it,
it's just a turbine set of magnets turning in opposition to each other, and they generate a current, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, because Niagara Falls is real. I've seen it. I drive by it all the time. And there are tons of water chutes that turn turbines, for sure. So that's real. That's why they put industry all around Niagara Falls and, of course, poisoned all the ground around it. And now we have all the toxic soil that it's on. It's actually a pretty depressing wasteland. I've driven... that's the nearest point of the U.S. to Toronto, and I've driven in and around Niagara Falls, New York, and it's pretty depressing. Just this old industrial graveyard, basically, that was put there. Because
it's like the Buffalo Bills in real life.
Yeah. Although I heard they're doing okay this year, but I have no idea. Like the Toronto Maple Leafs, the team that hasn't won since I was born, is probably going to do quite well this year. And no one's watching because nobody cares because they've killed sports like everything else fun, at least in this.
Yep.
Yeah, so. Okay, we've gone for about an hour. You're such an interesting person there. It'd be great to have you back. We could do...
Oh, yeah, I'll be around. We could do a part two for sure.
Yeah, we could... I don't want to commit to a weekly thing or anything regular because my schedule is so irregular. But yeah, you know so much. We could just go through what you know, and I could try and figure it out and explain it to the audience. Because you've got a ton of stuff that you've researched, and I guess you're still interested to this day.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a lifelong thing.
That's amazing. Your website is what would you recommend audio wise? Because on your website for someone to sample, because I've listened to your Visigoth interview, which I think was 10 years ago. That was interesting because I like Visigoth, and obviously I like your information. So I did listen to that, the JFK stuff, and we're on the same page on JFK. And I did listen to the last suicide, which is at the top of your page. Maybe it's the last entry on your page. Suicide number
438. That was the radio show still exists. There were several issues, but you know, we're all still friends. It's very truncated now. It kind of changed direction back towards political versus everything. But when the coronavirus hit, the people that had listened for the previous 12 years and I'd been gone for a couple wanted a coronavirus suicide. So that was a special request. It was played on the air. It is the newest offering. But yeah, the suicides are in chronological order. They're always fun. I think if you go to the drop-down menu, I've got a 9/11, a whole category on the menu for 9/11.
Top, 9/11/2001. Yeah. Let me click on that. Okay.
Yeah, and in there, I think one of the posts is all the suicides I've done on 9/11. And number 100, talk about Providence. Like, I didn't never do the suicides happened. Like, I didn't sit down and plan these, you know, like, here's what I'm going to do. I got invited to a radio show. I got a permanent invite. You know, I tried to bring some clips and then they sounded better as the podcast and then it became part of the show. So it was a thing. It didn't just, and at that point I wasn't doing one every show also. So they would be whenever I got to them. So, it was kind of serendipitous that the 100th suicide landed on a 9/11 anniversary. So that's one of my favorites just because, man, if you've done some 9/11 research and you can put, because Suicide 100 was 300 and some odd weeks before, you know, the one you listened to. So, this is...
what was the first one in September 1st, 2006? What did you know back then about 9/11? Was it anything different than what you know now?
My first hunch that day and the day after was blowback. I was like, well, clearly we pissed off the wrong person.
I'll go with that.
I didn't believe it from the jump at all. And then I think I explained to you in our first conversation, I had a coworker not too long after when it came up organically at work. He was like, you think that had fuck all to do with anything? Those were controlled deaths, man. And right. I wouldn't call this guy crazy or stupid. So I was like, what? I was a no planner by 03. Like, you could clearly just watching the footage see the glitches and you're like, ooh, yeah, that's not a fucking airplane. You know, and it's like you see a bunch of, not only does it glitch out, it doesn't look like an airplane that flies around. Like, I live near an airport. I don't ever see planes like that.
I was a no planner. Who would you have listened to or talked to get confirmation about that?
Nobody.
There would be nobody, right? You'd be the only guy. I'm sure there's other people that thought the same, but where could you meet? Who's talking about it in the media or alternative or otherwise?
It was a frustrating time for sure to be that awake that quick. But
you'd be lonely as hell.
I wasn't, I had the Waco and Ruby Ridge also. I didn't buy any of that. William Cooper and the other Alan Watt, because there's Alan Watt and Alan Watts, and
right,
it's a whole thing. But Gary Bell, the spaceman from Canada, like I listened to a bunch of strange shit a long time ago.
That, right.
You know, was about my only relief that at least it's not just me that can tell that's not a real airplane in that building. And then more and more shit came out. Loose Change, the first cut. They were no planers. Davon Kleiss and Joyce Riley lived in Missouri at the time. They were, I think their first documentary was CGI plane component there also. So yeah, I was a no planer demolition guy, pretty quick. Just the straight up fuckery. And even back then I was like, yeah, clearly Bush didn't plan this out, because, you know, that would be beyond him and Cheney. You know, I was clear of long-term agendas. But I didn't see the media as conspirators. I thought they were reporting bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like these black ops cooked this shit up. But, you know, I didn't have that component yet. The media was actively in on the deception.
Mm-hmm.
That took me a little while to get to, but it's all complete fuckery. And I've heard, you know, the takes. Somebody recently, plus in our talk, wonder if even the demolition footage is real.
Yeah.
Just Occam's razor. I think the buildings were there and now they're not. So they took it down at some point. Definitely plenty of altered fuckery, but I'm 85% sure they did bring them down on September 11th.
Yeah, I am too. I would say too. For sure they brought them down on that day, for sure. I have no problem with that. Makes sense.
With the myriad of demolition techniques.
Yes. Well, whatever they did, it was pretty much complete. Although I wasn't there, I didn't get to go drive up and take a look. But I think my parents went within a couple weeks to the area. I don't know how close they got, but they confirmed. I remember talking to them that there were no buildings there, so they were definitely gone. But it's amazing. Well, I'm just going through your 9/11 category, and I'm downloading all the audios, and I'm going to put them on my podcast player. All your video links are since gone on YouTube. They're all gone.
Are they? Well,
everything from YouTube is definitely gone and scrubbed, cleaned. They don't wait.
Yeah, I used to, and the suicides are an hour long. Sometimes they would go longer for special occasions or whatever, but I generally tried to put it right at an hour so we could do for radio show.
For the show, yeah.
Clean in and a clean out. But there's anywhere from 50 to 100 clips. And way back when, I used to link every clip that was in there. And that was a process itself. And then, you know, through the shadow banning and scrubbing and memory holing, you know, it turned into wasted effort. So.
Oh, I know. It's a great service that anyone that can create links to their show and show the source, because the Jeff Dollar Vigilante does it. I really appreciate it, because there's so many things that I think, oh, they're so great on their own. I post them and grab them, and he does most of them. It's great. And actually, you put a really good song that was called
Permanent Holiday.
You got it. Never heard of the guy. Never heard of the guy. I thought, you know, when a song starts playing, you think, the first time it's really hard to get into any song. But this one was going for a bit, and I thought, man, this is a great song. What is it? So I Shazammed it. Shazam couldn't find it. That's why I asked you, where did you get this? And then I see that. Yeah.
I replied quickly. And that's
you were great,
the
yeah.
Other part. If you got a question about any clip, most of them are in my head. And if I have to jog my memory, I've backed up everything. I will be a form of Wikipedia at some point. I've got some crazy shit that's scrubbed from the internet saved that nobody's going to find now because they, don't know to look for it. It's so cute how so many new truthers, you know, whether it's flat earth or, you know, whatever new COVID-19 topic uh-huh. brings them to the alternative possibility discussion.
You got it.
And when they bump into some old shit, they're like, oh my God, did you know? And I'm like, yeah, I knew. But I've got some interesting stuff that you can't find on the internet or the Wayback Machine.
I'd like to hear it. We should do a whole show on just stuff that's scrubbed. That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
And I could put any of the stuff that I'm really tuned into on maybe FakoTube, because as you know, I created my own video server just because I got tired of linking two videos on my blog and then the next day they're gone. So my blog looks like Swiss cheese at the end of the day, and obviously terrible and not very useful or referable. So that's why I created FakoTube. And thanks to Mr. Anonymous down in somewhere in the world that is paid for it for the year. So grateful.
That's what I appreciate, that effort. I host my own data. Mm-hmm. I do, like I said, if I ever get 20 extra hours a day for like a solid month, I really need to go update my website because I've got plenty of new and interesting stuff to put in there. I host my own data. So I appreciate the people that do that. You know, we don't have to exodus everything. You know, I love the link tree thing or the home base thing. Have a website mm-hmm. where if you get blocked or kicked off of whatever, you know, people can still find you. And that's.
Yeah, it's the old fashioned. You have your own website and your own domain. It's so the new people from that have joined the internet in the last 10, 20 years. They don't even know there's this place where you can type a URL and find original or at least someone else's material. The internet is not YouTube, Instagram, and those captured sites that will take and steal your energy and then flush it down the toilet as soon as it gets good.
Yep. I have a small YouTube channel. Go find is one word, and the others is a set. I think when I started my YouTube channel, you had to have a first and a last name. So
you're right.
Go find the others there. Go find the others on Twitter. I'm banned, permanently IP blocked from Instagram. I quit Facebook a long time ago. Or Discord is about anywhere else you could find me.
Yeah, I've subscribed to you on Go Find the Others. Ray, it's a great name. Is Kansas City where they have that bat building? Is that the AT&T building with the two spires on the top? The owl building? Is it the owl building? Because I thought I saw a picture.
No, that's in Austin. There is an AT&T Austin. Building probably okay. in one of my shots of downtown. They have one there, but it's not the bat building.
Oh, okay. So one of your pictures is of that, I believe. The two spires. I thought I saw it. Maybe I'm not. Is that possible that one of your realm sighted or original photography pictures was that? I thought I saw it.
Yeah, there is a smaller Art Deco building that has two spires.
Oh, okay.
Downtown. Yeah, it's not the okay, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. You probably see the AT&T. They're two separate buildings, but yes, they're in the same line of sight.
Oh, okay, that's in Kansas City. Where you are?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's not the Owl Building. That's Austin. But there's something that looks similar in Kansas City, or two buildings that you...
Correct.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Well, good chat. We've gone over time a bit, but that's fine. So we'll have to have you back and just dive deeper. I'm going to listen to some of your old stuff. Sometimes when I want to get away from the COVID crap, that's just burying me with frustration and actually causing a lot of cognitive dissonance. I like to go back to my roots. So I like your mashups. They're really a great way to just sort of listen to conspiracy type stuff without getting too detailed and relevant to today. So they're great ideas, actually. I like clips. I think these clip shows like No Agenda, they do really well because You can't just listen to some guy drone on like I do on these shows all day long. You need breaks of different audio and music. I think they're great, great ideas.
Correct. And I've even got some in there once you're tired of learning that's just straight infotainment. There's whole poetry suicides. There's whole comedy suicides. So, yeah, I even gave myself a break from the deep dives. And there's some definitely some interesting shit in the 438 choices on there. And if a link's broken or you come across something you want to hear that's not working, let me know. I can fix it. They're messed with constantly.
Yeah, I think you should have a podcast. You should do a regular podcast. I think you got enough stuff where you could probably be talking for hours and hours a day. Not that
I should. And there's more of that in the future. Life took me down a road less traveled when I left the radio show. But yeah, I'm full of it. My gas tank is full. The desire is still there. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised I never heard of you before, but I guess you've been away so long that you haven't had any podcasts, which is what I listen to. So, yeah, that I think you could really kill it with what you know and the depth of knowledge and just the experience and in time and energy. It's really hard to replace. I've been looking into this since 2012. I had no idea any of this was going on. I was just living in just that slave world where you don't have time and doing a bit of golf and chasing women, but, or being married mostly, but man, I got nothing on your research really just because of the time factor, but it's really fascinating. Yeah,
well, I'm glad to share it and there will be more to come.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Jake, go find theothers.com. He's on our Discord. And he's got his own website. Go check him out. And we're gonna have you back, and we easily can blow off an hour in with no effort. So thanks a lot, Jake. We'll call it a night.
All right, I appreciate it.
All right,
thank you.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.